The Guardian.
Hello, I'm Alexis Petridis. This is Music Weekly. It's a UK rap special this week.
Roxanne, prepare for when I land. With one finger up off my hand, shouting backpack gang, all smiley. Girl version of Wiley, I'm a Rasta, so watch me switch up the styling.
Roxanne on mixtapes and making the move into rap from grime. Ghost Poet takes us on a tour of his highly varied musical influences. And we remember some classics by Roots Maneuver, Gunshot and Kalashnikov. That's all coming up in Music Weekly from The Guardian. Welcome to the programme. For our UK rap special today, we are joined by Rosie Swash, as ever. Hello, Rosie.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm very well. How are
Excellent.
You?
Excellent. I'm not too bad. How's your driving lessons going?
I haven't picked them up again because I can't be arsed, and also because it's really expensive, and I'm really busy. And
it's not an, that's no attitude.
April, I'll go back to it in April.
I only ask you, this is a special request from the listeners. A lot of people have been asking how your driving skills are.
Probably out of fear for when they hit
I was going to say, yeah, they're absolutely terrified. Even as pedestrians. They're, anyway, we're actually joined by an expert. I'm really for once. No, not for once. Everybody on this programme is an expert.
No pressure whatsoever.
Chantelle Fiddy, how are you doing?
I'm very well, but yeah, just feeling the pressure now. I'm starting to sweat a little on the top lip, wondering where this is all going to go.
It's going to be like a sort of mastermind, but of UK hip hop. No, Rosie, you are a big fan as well, aren't you, of British rap? This was your idea.
Yeah, patchily, it was my idea. But I mean, the two guests that we've got on today are can be more different, could they? The two interviews we've got on today. So I'd say patchily, I'm certainly not an expert, but I do think we are in an impressive phase of UK hip-hop.
Do you agree, Chantelle? I mean, it seems to me that British hip-hop tends to ebb and flow a little bit, and you get moments where you sort of think, wow, it's gonna be really big, it's gonna break through. And the sort of last time I guessed this happened, talking about, you know, actual hip-hop rather than grime or sort of emceeing from that scene, was sort of early noughties when you had people like Roots Maneuver and Ty. And
yeah, and I missed that whole movement, really, because I was just moving to London in, I think, 99.
Right.
So for me, that kind of was a little bit before my time, which is why now is so exciting, I think, because we have this whole new wave, which is very different, both sonically and just, I think, the social setup for it all.
In what sense?
I think that previously there was this kind of vibe of consciousness, and then you also had the likes of Skinny Man, Kalashnikov, but it was more the music that was slightly, I guess it kind of mirrored what was going on in America at the time, whereas now we're taking the lead more so. America's gone a bit dry, they're looking to us for ideas, and it's very much like this new wave of rappers in this country are just doing their own thing, aren't looking anywhere else, and it's far rawer.
Wow. Okay. Great. Well, I'm very pleased to hear it. We're going to play a couple of UK rap classics in a while, but we're going to begin with Roxanne. She's a new grime MC that sticks out her own material too. She was profiled by Mike Skinner when he took over Guardian Music a few weeks ago. She hails from Birmingham. She's 21, and Chantelle caught up with her recently for Music Weekly.
Here I'm that solo terminator. Love me now or learn how to be my hater. The day you meet my ranks today, I'll see you later. Pee in the bank, but I like to get my dough in paper. G of the gang, girl of the mic from a world of hype. Looking back like how the fuck was that my life? So now I spit wise and on track size. Surprise more than a few guys, you're on that line.
Tell us a bit about this sound that you've come up with for the mixtape / album you're working on.
I've been working with a lot of people from familiar names like Daneo, Riton. I did a collaboration with Mike Skinner for his mixtape, his recent mixtape, to new producers and up-and-coming producers like Bless Beats, who you also might know, Sonny, two guys called Pegasus, Craze and Hoax. But for this sound, I've took all my inspirations from my background of having a reggae influences as well from my family, hip-hop obviously, grime, dubstep, I love bass, even people also like Black Eyed Peas. I'm a huge fan for Black Eyed Peas. On a night out, I go out to actually hear Black Eyed Peas, believe it or not. So my sound, it's a wave. I wouldn't say it's a sound, I'd say it's a wave. It's definitely a hard bass, hard bars with melodies and a vibe.
Without cuddling guys, no kids, no fibs. Only with a beat, am I a mother in kind? I'm a Gemini, so I got another inside. Raised an only child, but I got a few brothers that ride. The difference with them and I'm so hungry, I could end a life. My problem is I've got the heart for it, so you should think twice if you're thinking about starting it. Roxanne, yeah, I'm the hardest chick. Full stop.
And as a female, do you think you have to apply certain principles to your music that you wouldn't have to as a man? So are there certain things you wouldn't maybe say simply because you're a woman?
Before, I would have said, yeah, I would have said, kind of have to be a bit more feminine. I maybe would have wore kind of different clothes or dressed differently for a show. And I don't know, not being as forceful with some of my views, but personally, I don't feel like a female MC. I feel like an artist. Men are my rivals too. I'm battling with everybody. So no, I would say no personally.
And do you think there's obviously in America, we've got the likes of, you know, Lil' Kim, Nicki Minaj, and they kind of throw caution to the wind when it comes to their lyrics. And I guess a lot of to do with their sexuality and how they put themselves out there. In the UK, this doesn't really happen. Why do you think that is?
Over here, we try and be more original. So if it's not done perfect and classy, in a classy way, which is also sexy, then I just think people see it for what it is and don't respect it. For me, I'm not trying to come on that sexy, down that sexy route. I'm a girl, I am also feminine, but I dress in boys' clothes, but I have style, we have swagger. It's kind of the new age girl, so hopefully we'll be out, the UK will soon have its new Lil' Kim and Nicki Minaj, but it will be a cool kid.
And if we look at the 10 female MCs from the UK who are, I guess, dominating things at the moment, they all have a very, very distinctive image slash style, and it seems that it's more important for women to have this identity than men. You know, men don't seem to differentiate themselves as much. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. Again, I think women think they have to be sexy, whereas I think they should just enjoy making music and wear what they feel comfortable in. I've been to a few studio sessions where people have turned up in tracksuits, and then later on the night where I'm still wearing the same thing, they've got heels on and their hair's all done and they've put in a new hairpiece where I've just rolled up with the same mascara on I've had on all day kind of thing, because I think it's about the music. And I feel that the crowd respect that and respond to that and kind of just listen to the music and vibe as well.
Rolling up slow, slow, inhaling them low, let them see you do in the vibe and let it flow. I love the way it toes. Flake the cherry, let it glow. Makes me feel like oh. Makes me feel like oh.
I smoke to get away so I can dream of better days. Close my eyes and meditate. Usually high up tight, but today I need some wetter haze. If I'ma set the pace in this stepping race, why do it in a sober state?
How do you actually write your bars?
When I write, because I'm dyslexic, I kind of, if there's too much words on a piece of paper, then I start reading sentences wrong. So what I tend to do is write 4 bars in my head, and I would memorise them, then write 4 on my iPad or my iPhone, then go back to the 4 in my head and carry on. So I'd do the next 8, which would be the 12 bar, then back to my iPad to finish off the 16.
And if you have writer's block, how do you tackle that?
Today, I would say, because I've just bought a PS3 and I'm addicted to Call of Duty Black Ops, I would say go and kill some dirty whining zombies. But usually I'd either go out and ride my BMX with my headphones in and again write in my head and keep saying it over and over again so I remember it. Or I'd jump on a bus and straight away I start getting ideas and inspiration.
How does the rap of today compare to that of yesteryear? So maybe the stuff that you grew up listening to?
The rap I grew up listening to, for me, it was just about the music and lyrics. I think music kind of lost its way a bit, and now I think it's kind of finding its rawness again. People are listening to flow, music, technique, how you attack the beat, how you come in, how you switch it. So I think it's kind of, it's going back to how it was.
I think I've got quite a deep voice, and you mentioned before about listening to people who had a deep voice.
Deep voice,
yeah. Is your voice something you've been conscious of as a woman?
Oh, definitely. I hated my voice. I still kind of don't like it. Growing up, I was called Roxanne the Man. Yeah, I was very conscious, especially kind of the way I dress and being cast as a tomboy. It all kind of fits the same. Oh, she's a rapper. She's a tomboy with a deep voice. She must be gay. And now my voice is my weapon, I think. I love my voice.
You mentioned people's obsession with female MCs and their sexuality. So is that something you think you've had, you know, you're having to contend with now or going to have to contend with?
Like they say, labels are for losers. So now I'm getting it a lot, especially with the way I dress and kind of my hair, and I don't really give a damn, but hey, it is what it is.
At least it makes for a diverse fan base.
I agree, and I enjoy partying with the gays, so hey, gay on.
Which MCs and rappers have played the biggest part in your, I guess, in your kind of listening history / influence?
Definitely Missy Elliott. For creativity, and Skunk and Nancy. Although her vocal isn't the prettiest and the cleanest, the way she attacked the track and the way she got across how she was feeling or what she wanted to say. And Missy Elliott getting out all the madness that goes on in her head in videos. I love them.
How about from the UK?
From the UK, you know I'm going to go back to people like Moni Love and Miss Dynamite. For my age and my era, definitely Miss Dynamite set a lot of boundaries. She was the one girl who came from a similar background, came on this male-dominated scene, took the mic and killed it. And that's what I plan on doing. So I'm going in with fists up and ready to fight. Tell Tiny and Tim Cheese on.
In the vibe and let it flow. I love the way it tows.
To know what was in the backpack, well now you know. Roxanne, backpack gang.
Roxanne with Chantel there. Really interesting. I think one of the things I found interesting about the interview was that she mentioned So Solid Crew, and I went to see Tiny Temper live last week, and in the sort of intro video to his show, he references, he's sort of pictured at home watching the video for 21 seconds. How important are they? It seems to me that the So Solid Crew are sort of at the root, in a weird way, of this wave of
oh, definitely, without a doubt. I think it was on for a number of reasons. So, firstly, you know, you've got this massive group of, you know, black boys with a couple of girls, and it's just suddenly like, bang, they're here. They're on your TV screens. They're everywhere. The media hates them. Mm. And to young people, they were heroes. Mm. And they became, I guess, you know, where they were getting banned all their shows, the media took a certain stance against them. It was even more reason to like them, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I don't think at the time anyone realised, but along with Pay As You Go Cartel and Heartless Crew, So Solid were the foundations of grime. If you look at the way that they were emceeing on those records, it really did start off this whole wave that we've seen since, with the Tiny Tempers, the Tinchy Striders, Wiley's, Dizzy's. They were definitely the first ones on the kind of start line, I guess.
It's really interesting because what are they doing now? Whatever happened to?
I think some of them are in management.
Right.
Who knows? I mean, there's so many of them. How can you even account for them?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't even know.
It just
yeah.
seems an intriguing thing that they seem to hover over this whole scene at the moment. You know, this is a pivotally important act, and
it's actually quite a shame that they haven't kind of come back and formed. I just think there was too many too much politics, too many arguments, too much history.
Three of them came back just as So Solid, not as So Solid Crew.
Did they?
They came back and released a really American sounding track where the video is actually in a basketball court. It was very
really
strange.
Very bizarre. And that's the thing, I think that is part of the mistake that they made, was that they went to America. They'd made a lot, you know, allegiances over there, but this whole UK thing came into trend. It was suddenly like, we don't care about that.
Right.
Yeah.
This whole Team UK vibe that, you know, everyone's on. And I think they kind of missed the boat on that one slightly.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing I found interesting was she was talking about like the reggae influence in her music, which is obviously Birmingham has this sort of incredible. I've been thinking a lot about British reggae recently because of the fantastic Reggae Britannia documentary that was on. And, you know, people mock UB40, but there was footage of UB40 on there, obviously banned from Birmingham, in their early days. They were amazing. They were really, really good.
What else was really interesting as well was, you know, she's mixed race. The other side of her family's Irish.
Right.
And how much the folk and the Irish side has also kind of combined with the reggae side. Uh-huh. And I know that she's not alone in being a mixed, you know, race individual from Birmingham who's got those two different kind of schools of thought and musical influence coming in. It's really interesting to see that.
I think it's really interesting that you can be an artist like her, you can be a rapper now, and basically all your influences can be British. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously hip-hop in itself is an American genre and all that kind of thing. That's really intriguing. What are her chances, do you think, of making it? Is it?
When I first heard about Roxanne, I thought, oh, historically, female MCs, they don't sell. Second to that, she's from Birmingham, regional accent, you're going to struggle. Mm. Then I started to hear the music she was recording for the mixtape and the album, and straight away I went, oh, this is going to be a problem. She's not gone and tried to do what everyone else has done, i.e. just sing everything and try and use a bit of auto-tune. Mm. I think it's, A, the lyrical content, it's hard enough for guys to want to listen to it as well. I think the problem with Lady Sovereign was it was a bit too kind of alternative / squeaky for a lot of men. So I think that's a really big box to tick. And then I think the fact that Roxanne made that point about standing up alongside men, her music does stand up alongside that of her male counterparts, which is really interesting. And they are really good songs. And I think she's pushed herself, but hasn't even got to that that point where she can say, this is all I can do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a really exciting
journey. Has the bar been raised for British MCs? Because, I mean, for a long time, you know, British rap was just a kind of commercially underachieving genre. You know, you didn't have high expectations.
You know,
now you've got the charts are full of MCs.
It's not just the charts as well. It's channels like SBTV and Grime Daily, Link Up TV.
SBTV was Channel U, is that?
No, that's a separate thing. So right. Channel U is now called Channel AKA.
Right.
So Channel U was the one that started it off. Mm-hmm. Everyone's big thing was, let's get our video onto Channel U.
Yeah.
But then off the back of that, SBTV, he decided there was lots of guys in his area that weren't getting props. So he got a video camera, literally went onto a estate, started filming them.
Wow.
Now, in terms of how many million views he's had on his channel, we're talking over 150 million.
Wow.
The subscribers, I can't even remember how many it is, but, you know, this guy's only just turned 20. And he's got this whole channel. So for them, something like SBTV means just as much as getting into the charts.
Yeah.
Who's going to get the most views? Who's going to get the most ratings? And if you go on there, you will literally find thousands of videos of talented rappers and MCs in this country.
Wow.
Yeah, if you go on there, I recommend you check out a guy called English Frank.
Okay.
Who was up last week. He said something like 250,000 views in a week on his video.
That's incredible. That's absolutely amazing. Well, look, Roxanne will be releasing a single soon. A mixtape. Is the mixtape out?
Coming May, June time, I believe.
Okay, well, look out for it. We're going to move on to a sort of version of Singles Club. Time to listen to a few UK rap classics, in a way, now. One from each of us. We're going to start with Rosie's Choice.
Break away, slave bliss. Generate G's and then be stashing with the Swiss. Fools can't see this. Under your pistols, a fist full of hip-hop duns. I progressing in the flesh. Esoteric quotes, most frightening. Duppy took a hold of my hand while I was writing. Leg on me ting, Duppy, leg on me an. I summon up the power of Banana Clan. Witness the fitness. The prophet liveth. One hope, one quest. Witness the fitness. The prophet liveth. One hope, one quest. Witness the fitness. The prophet liveth. One hope, one quest. Witness the fitness. The prophet liveth. One hope, one quest.
That's Roots Maneuver. Witness. Witness fitness? Witness? Is it? Just witness? Witness. Witness One Hope. Chosen by Rosie. Other than that, that is a fantastic record.
I know. I mean, I thought about choosing something less obvious because it's so up there in, you know, the top 10 best UK hip-hop tracks of all time or whatever, or, in my opinion, hip-hop full stop. But it's just so good. As soon as it came on, then we were all like, oh,
yeah.
And I think it's just one of those tracks that sounds unlike anything else before or since.
Mm.
And it really has that, still has the ability to just really blow you away when you hear it. And it charted at number 45 in the UK charts.
I think it would be different now.
Do you think so?
I think if this record came out now. Well, the Retro 32 thing
is not a
particularly commercial sounding record, and that's done really well. You know, it's not like you've just got to make a record that sounds like insert name of incredibly commercial Tinchy Strider record.
It feels
record
like
here.
You have to have these acts that come before. Kano's another example that kind of put in the work, put in the foundations for everyone else to then be able to come through and have the success.
Because
I think same with Kano P's and Q's, that wasn't even in the charts.
No.
And that is one of the finest UK rap / grime records ever made.
Absolutely. You're a fan of Roots Maneuver?
I am a fan of Roots Maneuver, but again, I feel like I missed that wave and I'm not that familiar with that scene and I only know a few records.
I think it was also geared quite differently. In my sense was that Roots Maneuver was a kind of artist that appealed to kind of more of an indie sort of audience maybe than a kind of pure hip-hop audience, you know, in the same way that I guess Massive Attack did.
The first time I saw him live in the early 2000s was at Cream in Liverpool for Bugged Out.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So that's
bizarre. Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it? And, you know, but, you know, it was a completely
different
crowd.
He's kind of like another Mike Skinner character,
went,
right?
Yeah.
It's really interesting. He crossed a lot of boundaries, and it seems unfortunate that he never really capitalised on that commercially. I mean, at the time, I remember thinking, you know, my God, Roots Maneuver's doing incredibly well for a British rapper. And obviously now, you say 45 in the charts.
But that's the difference, I think. Back in the day, or not even back in the day, a few years ago, we'd always be like really grateful if anything UK and urban or black music related got anywhere near the charts, whereas now it feels like we're actually on an even keel and that it's pretty much 50-50 between the kind of indie band music and the urban stuff.
Oh yeah, no, I think it's more than 50-50 to be honest with
you. Yeah, and I know that One Extra are playing 40% UK music at the moment.
That's brilliant.
Yeah,
that's
despite having a, you know, their own quota of 20-something%, so that's great.
Okay, moving on, track two this week is my choice.
face of Mark. This brother's flipping a challenge. A man is posing a malice when they visit the border rally.
Why?
Because I'm coming to what they're heavy to their minority.
Black!
We know I'm multi.
Still!
They're coming to bother me, me earning my car. Them on the street when I'm gone. To sell the eating, crack the speed of where the hand of Halloween. Stored in my holder with my bleed, but I'm bolder. One bleed, two bleed, indicates another descending by the street. Still not complete, cause I'm the bad man. Sell the crack and back up with another chance up on my hand. I get mentioned when the dollars never come when it quick. I flip my wretched, lick a back and back of the wine, take it off. Lick scene and run up. Vex me, cause I'm a new from back in the yard that I'm onto. It's a country. Sell the crack and back up with my BM, I'm one star. Sit on top of the ring, you know I'm sitting on top of the mind.
That's My Choice from 1991. That's Gunshot, Crime Story. I think we're talking about UK hip-hop sort of ebbing and flowing a little bit. There was a brief period in the early 90s when Gunshot were around, Blade. There seemed to be kind of artists that were teetering on the verge of doing something, that were getting more coverage. John Peel used to play a lot of this stuff, which is how
London
I heard
Posse,
it. London
show,
Posse,
yeah,
How's
Delta
Life in
Force
London, absolutely.
Well.
So there was this kind of stuff knocking about, and I'd forgotten what an amazing record this is. I saw it originally on Snub TV, which is like an indie, early 90s indie programme. It's on BBC Two at 6 o'clock in the evening. And it just seemed incredibly dense and heavy and dark, and it didn't occur to me at the time. Obviously they're trying to copy the Bomb Squad production style and things like that, but there's something about it that's so hectic. And I mean, it's clearly still the sound of British hip-hop looking to America, you know, they're still in that stage. But I just sort of thought it's nice to play something like this, because this kind of era of hip-hop seldom gets mentioned these days in Britain, probably because the artists are really young, you know. I mean, a lot of the artists that are around now weren't even born when this record came out, which seems
that's what's interesting as well. When you talk to the younger new breed, they often aren't even that aware. They know that the likes of Skinny Man Kalashnikov exist, but they're not really familiar with the music or the real history of it.
Silver Bullet, that was the other guy that was big. Bring forth the guillotine. Sorry, it's rattling on like an old man here. But yeah, I just think it's sort of intriguing. The other thing I was going to bring in, and then decided to bring this in because it's more obscure, was something like a first Massive Attack album, because that never seems to get props as a hip-hop record at all. It gets seen as sort of whatever, this proto-trip-hop thing or whatever. But I remember thinking at the time that was probably the first time I'd heard sort of convincing British MCs, people that were rapping in Bristol accents, which just seemed like an incredibly bold, but really cool thing to do. I remember hearing it and thinking, well, you're not sort of putting on a fake American accent or anything like that. So, Rosie, did you care for that? Was that
I do. I mean, like you, the first thing that struck me is looking to Public Enemy with its sound, and it didn't sound. I wouldn't have heard that and thought, oh, that's definitely a British hip hop act. But I don't know any British based hip hop from that era really, other than London Posse, who I came to quite a bit later. I think it was their track Style was on like a Next Men mixtape or something, and I just remember thinking, oh my god, what is that? That is such an incredible song, and being encouraged to go and investigate them a little bit. But I wouldn't say much of the stuff that I like from that era sounds like Gunshot.
I think that's the thing. It came out on Vinyl Solution, which is a record label based around a shop that used to be in West London. I think it used to be Portobello Road, and they used to put out stuff by Depth Charge, and it certainly wasn't a hip-hop label, and it seemed to have more in common with that kind of, in a way, with that early hardcore kind of breakbeat sound. It all sort of seemed to fit together in this kind of, I suppose a bit like now, it's like some bass music, you know. Obviously, haven't been keeping up to date with the activities of Gunshot, but apparently there is a best of CD knocking around. I discovered on the internet. Probably well worth checking out. Final music choice this week is Chantel's.
And books written by forbidden government authors. Infiltrate your border like ITN reporters, then return with the slaughter. Captured on camcorder, I'm trapped in a damn corner. Chatting to Pandora about boxing a man for her, but she don't know me. Kalashnikov, that black cunt from out of Stokey. Banana boat, mango munching monkey. Kick off your door like Jumanji. Dash you off the 28th floor like it was bungee. I want the blood clean.
The blood clean. It's murder.
When man test the terra firma.
It's murder.
Rays getting buried in suburbia.
Murder.
Man sweating rock to make a earner.
It's murder.
Murder.
It's murder.
Murder.
It's murder.
Man. That's Murder by Kalashnikov. Chantel for his choice.
Oh, I love it so much. I just got to go, K, lash your ass, Clark. Nickel. I split you in half like a gun blast from Lennox. Lennox!
Wow. It makes me feel like that too. So what is it? Why do you love it so much? Why have you brought it in? What is it?
I remember when I heard that track as a writer, sitting back and thinking, wow. The wordplay in it, and just the flow patterns. And I remember sending that song to Chris X over at XXL in America, and him replying just like, oh my God, speechless. Really? And it just, I think as a writer, it just has that effect on you, because every journalist I've ever spoken to about that track feels the same way. And similarly, when last year in January, we did a rave for Haiti, and it was a fantastic evening. And when Kalashnikov performed that track, he didn't want to do it because of the nature of the event.
Of course, yeah.
But everyone was like, no, no, you have to do it. And the entire club was singing along with it, and it, by the end of it, he didn't even need to say anything. The whole mic was out. Wow. Everyone knows all the words. You know when you just feel like that song really just nailed something that it's really rare to do.
When did it come out?
Do you know what? It's a really good question. Thanks for showing everyone I don't know the answer. No, it's probably, I think it was either late 90s or early 00s, actually. Right, I'm not sure. I know it was on the Sagas of Kalashnikov album.
Right.
Yes. I probably should have done some research, but
I'm
a journalist.
Why
bother?
Google it. What did you make of that, Rosie?
I liked it. I remember seeing him when he used to go by the name Ricochet Kalashnikov. He doesn't really go by that at all anymore, does he?
Just K-Lash.
Yeah, and so it must have been early 2000s at the Scala, which is just around the corner from the Guardian offices, and thinking, what a ridiculous name.
Ricochet Kalashnikov.
Yeah.
I actually prefer Ricochet Kalashnikov Kalashnikov.
It's certainly got an onomatopoeic kind of Ricochet feel to it, but I remember thinking it was quite ridiculous, but being very impressed by him, but also being a little, there's a definite kind of cold aggression to some of his earlier stuff, which put me off quite a lot.
And it's so funny, because I love the aggression in the music.
Really?
I mean, he's very smart with it. It doesn't feel base level, but there is a lot of, complicated analogies for ways to enact violence on people knocking around in hip hop, and I do tend to get quite kind of weary of it, even when it's done very well. But he did a track, I think it was like mid-2000s, called All I Got, which was about being a father, and, you know, not so much just what he was saying that I liked, but the production style on it reminded me a lot of that very minimal, concise production from, you know, New York in the mid-90s. Nas and that kind of thing, really contained.
Wicked. I liked it too. I'd never heard it before, so that shows how little...
Oh, have you not?
I've never heard that track. No. What was I doing in 2004 when it came out? As I've just been told by our producer.
Oh, it was 2004, so I was very wrong on my late 90s
then.
That's when he was thinking about
it. Yeah. He was probably writing it then. Yeah, he probably spent quite a lot of time coming up with the lyrics. I don't know, it completely passed me by. I really liked it. It's a very unrepentantly British-sounding record, which I think is a great
thing.
The actual
entire album is that good. I would go and buy you a copy.
Wow.
Now.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a recommendation. It's still available. Go out and get... What's it called again?
The Sagas of Kalashnikov.
The Sagas of Kalashnikov. Okay, next up is Ghost Poet, who comes from the East Midlands. Is signed to Giles Peterson's Brownswood label. Interestingly, he's been produced by Mika Levy from Mikachu and the Shapes. And he's got some really interesting influences, as he explained to Rosie when he came in recently.
Try and change your life. You can do it by yourself if you choose to. I just wanna have a drink, have some chocolate cake and all them things, and wrap up warm and winter things. Look, I'm easy. Give me drinking tea, magazines and sweeties, just enough to please you, please you, please you. Look, I can't be a retrospective rapper all the time, so I thought I'd write a simple song with different life like mine.
I guess I first started making music in university time. The opportunity came up to start or be part of a grime collective who went out and DJed and MC'd and stuff like that. And being part of that circle gave me the opportunity to make stuff, really. So I was tinkering around with Reason and trying to make things, and I was just making stuff that was grime-like, but not quite. And it just felt right to go back to a hip-hop type form, really, lyrically, and here we are today.
I was wondering about that, because there's a lyric on Us Against Whatever where you mention Esky Boy. I don't think that your music has the defining features of grime, so I was quite intrigued by that. What is it about grime that appealed to you?
I think it was the first type of music that I could connect to. I think maybe because it was UK based and everyone who was involved in it was living a life like me, be it, you know, more exciting or whatsoever. It was kind of, we were kind of bored of American hip-hop, you know, the idea of these people telling us things that we would never experience.
The thing that I really like about your music, and in a large part a lot about UK hip hop, is there's actually quite a lot of melancholy and sadness to it, which as you said, it's totally at odds with the kind of lifestyle that's being presented to us by American rappers.
I gotta move, man, but it's hard when you're glued in place. I so desperately wanna leave this place. In a steamy hot bath, I just hide my face. The world looks different underwater. I could've had a son or a daughter. When I had a chance, it'd have chipped to New York. Life is a funny thing, twists and turns. And in the bad times, it just breaks and burns. But as you get older, you just live and learn. You shrug your shoulders and be the bigger man. But I remember nights in December, fairy lights and torn out wrapping paper and happy times. Now it's happy slaps and how big you got and all that crap. I'm not allowed that. I know there's reason apart, but I'll get through if I just remember that.
It wasn't intentional to try to get the balance in between the two. I would just say it was a combination of the music that I was listening to, as well as grandma was listening to American hip hop, be it not the kind of the Puff Daddy as he was known then, Lox and DMX and those kind of people. Maybe I was listening more to like the Mos Defs and Talib Kweli's, so stuff like that, and as well as indie and folk music and electronic art.
And what's this about? I've read in two different interviews, I think, it is that Badly Drawn Boys, Hour of the Wildebeest, is a big inspiration for you. I'm surprised by that, not because you're a rapper, but because it's not really an album that's cited by anyone. It's not exactly Sgt. Pepper.
But yeah, I guess it was one of the first albums I ever bought, so it was musically, it's been there from the beginning, even before I even thought about writing. And I think it's affected me on a subconscious level more than I want to make an album like that, but just the elements involved in it and the way it's created and put together really hit a chord.
I keep on scribbling in the spare room I'm living in. Body's here but I'm never in. Why do I keep wasting time? I keep on writing, but then folk ain't biting. Maybe the bait ain't juicy enough. Sun switching, chucking spice and add some flavour up the heat. City rhymes and feet tight beats, yeah. But that ain't me, nah, it just ain't me. So light me a light. The words of this me truly, sending them out with love and faithfully. Hopefully they'll do something to me.
Something definitely lit up in my head when I think about it and revisit it. Maybe some of the themes potentially, but more musically I would say. And just the way it's put together, and yeah, just the kind of almost, it's just a constant, it's like a mosaic of different styles and stuff, and it really hit home.
And how did you go from what you mentioned earlier about being at university and being part of a grime collective to starting to develop your own sound? Well, you know, what was the bit between then and now about, you know, being signed, actually putting out your first EP?
There's a particular kind of like style, I guess, with grime. Even doesn't matter what your delivery is, so on and so forth. It's like you're stuck with that 16-8 bar situation, so you're constantly making lyrics to fit into that structure. And I just wanted to just say a bit more, you know. I wanted to just tell stories and tell a tale in a tune instead of just blocks of words. So it was kind of falling out of love with it in a sense, and thinking, right, I needed to, what's the next step, what's to do.
Who did you, when you in this newfound state of mind, who did you find inspiring?
I guess I would say people like the Roots Maneuvers, the Mike Skinners, Skinny Man, people like Black Twang, a lot of like the UK lyricists, I would say.
I love you like chicken soup, some biscuits and lemonade. Sometimes my heart's deaf, it must need a hearing aid. But I can see much clearer now, bit like the Esky boy. Love's like a shooting star, amazing like asteroids.
Musically, it was just everyone really. I was listening to like Square Pusher, Aphex Twin, even stuff like Sepultura, and just anything I could get my hands on really. This I was just trying to just consume as much music as possible, not to give me a direction to go in, but just to give myself enough of a world view to make my own kind of stamp on something.
One of the themes that always comes out in your lyrics is like just the struggle of everyday life. You seem to find, you know, life a bit of a task.
Yeah, life is a task. It doesn't matter how much
money
you've got.
Love, jobs,
everything,
all of it.
Yeah,
getting on the bus.
Of course, you know, it's difficult if there's those people in front of you on the bus. You know, it's hard to get on. So it's always one aspect where it's tough. It's like, doesn't matter how much money you make or how little you have, you're always going to find struggles in one way or another. And I think it's important to create music that people can relate to, and that's not only people in this country but anywhere. And I think we all go through trials and tribulations in one way or another every day of our lives, so I thought it just made sense to go with that. Really,
I read in an interview that you used to hate playing live when you first did it, but now you love it. Why did you hate it at first? Because it felt, you know, it felt quite naked being on stage.
Yeah, that was definitely an element of that. I think I couldn't get over that, the idea of people being able to, their focus would be on me and what I'm saying and what I'm doing. It just was a bit overwhelming, and I just found it really difficult. I just kind of overthought it a bit too much. So now I'm resigned to the fact that this is what I want to do. So it helps that I've got my sound how I want it to be. So we've been working on that and creating an experience that people can listen, well, come and see, which is different from the listening experience, which I think is important. So yeah, I'm in a happy place now.
I'm just longing for the night. I'm just longing for the night. Time.
Ghost Poet with Rosie there. Rosie, what is it that you like about his work?
If you accept the theory that hip-hop is supposed to be about coming from the streets and appealing to people on that level, I think that there's something that the occasional British rapper does brilliantly is just being so self-deprecating and being the antithesis of the glitz that comes with success. So it really, what I find appealing about his raps is something that can appeal to just about everyone. It's that kind of, I haven't got change for the bus moodiness. Also, the way that the album is produced, you know, you picked up on it having almost a tricky kind of feel to the production to it. It's definitely, there's definitely atmospheric similarity to some of that stuff. I'm a huge fan of the fact that people like Tinchy Strider and Tiny Tempo are getting signed, but it's such a one-sided facet of UK hip-hop.
Absolutely,
and this is another side
of
it that I find really interesting. And I find it really interesting that a rapper is citing Badly Drawn Boy as a leading influence and Sepultura.
Even weirder. Chantelle, are you a fan?
I am, and very randomly, I got sent his album, heard it and straight away thought, oh my God, Mike Skinner would love this.
Right.
And at the time I was helping Mike Skinner put his mixtape together, so sent it over and they were like, oh my God, amazing, get him on the mixtape. And off the back of that, then Kano's management phoned up after hearing that and said, right, we want to get Kano on a track with him together. So I think he's one of those.
So he basically owes his career to you.
Basically, no. I'm a fan, and it's really great when you are a fan of somebody that you are in a position where you can hook them up with certain people. And the reality is, someone like Ghost Poet, you know, he's on a smaller label. Just having someone like Mike Skinner, you know, talk about him, mention him, I think he did in the Guardian video it makes such a difference to just getting them out there. And it is a really interesting album, so I hope it really does well for him.
It's interesting that you say, you know, it sounds a bit like Tricky, because he's another character. I mean, I mentioned Massive Attack before. A really totally original British rapper, again sort of a bit forgotten about these days, you know, again tarred with the trip hop brush, you know, seen as sort of people always go, oh yeah, coffee table album. And I said, what kind of, you know, dinner party, put it on the back, what kind of dinner party are you holding where you listen to like the second Tricky album in the background? It's really,
it feels like there's going to be like a new wave of trip hop though at the moment.
Yeah, I think so. Well,
excitingly,
I think it's really good. I think it's lost that sort of stigma, and the fact that those Massive Attack records, Tricky's first couple of albums, the early stuff on Mowax, it's actually brilliant music. And just because it was used, you know what I mean, it eventually ended up being this thing that got played in the background during Grand Designs or whatever. I think people have got over that or forgotten about that, and they're going back to source a little bit, which I find quite interesting.
Yes.
I find it's quite intriguing. Definitely a thrillingly original artist, I think, Ghost Poet. His album is out now. That's the end of things for today, the end of our UK hip-hop special. You can leave your comments on anything in the show. at the Music Weekly blog, which is guardian.co.uk/musicweekly. That's it. We have come to the end. My thanks to Chantelle Fiddy for coming
in. Thank you. It was a pleasure.
It was really nice having you in. Thanks ever to Rosie. Not be seeing you for a bit. Are you going off to South by Southwest like forever?
No, I'm only going to South by Southwest for a week and then I'm taking some time off.
So you're just not going to say...
So word on the road is you've got a one-way ticket.
Yeah. Austin Chronicles music coverage is very good.
With some of us, not you, obviously we'll be back next week. I'm Alexis Petridis, the producer was Scott Cawley. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.